welcome everybody to Heroes Asylum issue 130. That is right, it's your favorite sociopaths here, rocking it out, because we've got some fun things to talk about today. There's been some big news this week, comic book wise, movie wise, TV wise, and of course we always do this together. Kane and Mike, how you doing, man?
Hi Mike, how you doing? I'm Kane, nice to meet you. We've only been doing this for almost 3 years.
Almost. We're getting there. We're slowly creeping. And guys, I want to thank you guys all for helping us out, downloading us, listening to us. Thank you. I know our Facebook community has definitely helped out with those numbers. I want to thank you guys out there. And make sure you do check us out. You can listen to us on Facebook, but also you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, everywhere that the best podcasts are found. You can find us there. But yeah, definitely. I know that since Facebook definitely bumped up their podcast, that's actually definitely helped us.
Yeah, the new thing that you got on there where you're able to post the podcast and then along with another of our shows, Midnight Movies or Heroes Asylum Movies. I don't even know. It's Midnight Movies, but you're able to post it on the page and there's like this little section where you actually see like a preview of it with our little little pop Funko pop faces. And then like you hear like a snippet of the show. I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like people can get a chance to just to catch something really fast. And then maybe they'll dive in deeper and listen to the whole episode. That's hopefully what you guys should do.
Yep.
Just don't pass.
Yeah, but definitely check it out, guys. Especially this week, we're going to be doing, we have a continuing our music month for Midnight Movies. We're going to be doing Pick of Destiny.
Pick of Destiny.
That Kane kind of soloed for a little bit, and then I popped in. So it was a little chaotic, but we have fun when it's chaos.
It was fun. It was fun when you dropped in. It was a lot of it's one of the first Midnight Movies I've done in a while that actually was movie music centric. So there's a lot of music stuff that we brought up, bands that we enjoyed. We talked about Fender guitar. So we got pretty sweaty on music. So check it out. It was actually a really fun one to do.
Yep. So guess what, guys? This week, if you have been living under a rock or in a closet somewhere doing a podcast, you may have missed that Disney Plus had a Disney Plus day. I think this was their first one. Since there really isn't a, they've kind of postponed the last few of the what are they called? E's? No, are they E2s?
Is it E20s? No,
I forget the name of their event. It's been so long. But yeah, they canceled the last one because we actually had a friend that was going out to Anaheim to go check that out. So I guess they kind of picked up the thought process of what DC's been doing. Like, hey, that's kind of a cool idea. Let's have a day. Or in, decent Phantoms, case, they do a month or a week, a weekend time. But they decided to do a day and to talk about some of the new things that are coming out. So we figured we'd address a lot of that because there were some quick trailers, some behind the scenes stuff. So, a lot of stuff. Some folks were disappointed because they didn't get a lot of what they thought we were going to get. And I guess kind of we can start off with, I know one that you posted of, because you were the one posting all day. I don't know if you were off that day or you were just on point.
No, I was at work and right. I just kept getting the feeds. And once I figure out how to actually attach them to Twitter and Instagram, I'm gonna figure that way out. Yeah. Trust me, guys. I will figure it out.
But
I kept the page and just a lot of interesting stuff drops.
Yeah. But the first one that I think you posted was the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. They didn't have a trailer per se, but they had sort of a behind the scenes featurette, which, if anybody's a fan of Disney, Disney loves their featurettes.
Oh, yes. This is going back for a long time.
This one, it was showing some behind the scenes, some training for the lightsaber battles. We see some concept art. One of the concept arts I know you got all excited about was about they had a concept art of Vader and Obi-Wan battling and very reminiscent of the final battle that we saw in Revenge of the Sith.
And we got an Inquisitor ship. I'm not sure if you noticed that. Yep. There's an Inquisitor ship there. So it's definitely confirmed that we're getting Inquisitors. I mean, that's kind of cool because I actually like the Inquisitors. When we saw them in Clone Wars with the Night Sisters and all that stuff, they were really, really cool characters. I like the concept that they're force sensitive. They're not actually force users. They're very force sensitive, so they can do some things, but not like, they're not OG force users. So I like them coming in. You got some new characters coming in. Joel Edgerton is coming back, as well as Aunt Beru and all those. The original cast members are coming back, along with Ewing and, Hayden's coming back. So it's from what I saw of the artwork, it looks pretty good. It looks like we're not staying in Tatooine. Like, I thought we were going to stay in just Tatooine. Like, he's just going to sit there and look at Luke all day, just stare at him like, hey, okay, he's going to be fine. But no, we're going to different places, and I dig that.
Yeah, I expected that. I mean, when I heard of Hayden getting cast, God, what, months ago, they announced his casting. That I knew. I was like, okay, we're going to see the growth of Vader and the growth of Obi-Wan kind of in their own separate universes, and I think they're going to be affecting each other in their different, you know, if Obi-Wan's doing something, it's going to piss Vader off in kind of a sideway thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I know there was talk, you know, even he, you know, talked about, and they were very vague about how they mentioned it. So I don't know if this is just Disney playing their little tricks about them, you know, working together again and fights and things like that and choreograph, you know, and I think that was a more of a tease than anything. That's an argument you and I have had for a whole bunch of time.
Years.
That you're like, you know, you would love to see it, but to me, it takes away from the moment we see them finally meeting after all of these decades.
I'm not going to go into it. Like I said, we've talked about this 1,000 times, but I will say there are some lines, if you watch the OG series, that drops a little hint that there could have been a meeting before they met in New Hope.
Say the line, because I disagree with the line. Because the line doesn't.
There's two lines. There's two lines, actually. And there was one, and particularly in Return of the Jedi, where he said, let me get the line. He's, last time I met him, he was, he's more machine now than man. Like, how did he know he was a machine?
Because by then Obi-Wan was dead, and he was one with the Force, so he already knew that.
I think there was another meeting.
And now, but then the first one you talked about in New Hope, where they make, you know, when we last met, you know, you were the master, and I was the learner.
And I was a learner. So when did that happen again? And another line that
my problem is the concept is when they last met in Revenge of the Sith, Anakin was the learner, Obi-Wan was the master. There's your answer. There's no hint of anything more.
I'll give you one more. In Return of the Jedi, when he's talking to Luke, he's like, you know, Father, I still sense some good in you. And then he turns around, he's like, Obi-Wan once thought when you did, the last time you met him. He was burning to death. Like, come on now.
I think you're reaching on those. So, but I think there's a lot of folks that will really want to see a rematch. I don't want to. I think I would ruin that last meeting when we see Obi-Wan sacrificing himself.
Like I said, there's ways you could do it, but I can see your point too. But
let's see. We also had some announcements, a bunch of new movies coming out through Disney but Disney Plus is going to have. They did drop Under the Helmet, The Legacy of Boba Fett. Obviously, like, gearing up because the Book of Boba is coming out. So that's kind of a cool one. If you've never seen any of the behind-the-scenes documentaries they have for, I think, a gallery is the one that they did for Mandalorian. Great.
That's the one I saw.
One I haven't watched yet, so I'm kind of interested to see, you know, what, you know, how they do and what route they take. I think that's when the Under the Helmet is already out. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, if you guys have never seen the gallery show, it's fantastic, man. So it's just, especially the behind the scenes when they got all the directors there and Favreau and Filoni's on there, and I love that. I think I've seen it twice because I remember you told me about it the first time. Then I rewatched it. Then I saw it again. I'm just seeing like how they make their process, their craft.
Yeah,
when they were making Mandalorian, and it was like, wow. God, this is like so good. Like, I don't know why they didn't do it like in the sequel trilogies. I just wish they had planning like that. But then again, hey, you got more time to tell stories on Disney Plus than
you do. Exactly. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And of course, you're dealing with two people that were known for like long stories, or at least one person that's known for telling the long story was, was Filoni. You know, that's where he made his bones at, you know, doing Clone Wars. That's, you know, he learned how to do that. So that's where I think, you know, a lot of that comes from. Next, we got to see a bunch of great trailers. One for the Moon Knight, which I know we've been dying for. We've gotten some clips here and there sporadically of Oscar Isaac, you know, in the suit. We've seen like clips of the suit. We've seen him on set, but we finally actually got a real like story in the trailer. And it sounds very similar to kind of what you and I had talked about before, that he's going to take those two Moon Knight versions, and sounds like they're going to blend them and mash them up together.
Which is what we thought. I mean, and it makes sense too. Like in the trailer, you see him like looking at a paint glass window, like it looks like he's going insane. He's like flipping out. So I think they're going to go with the multiple personality stuff in it, which is cool. It's great.
Well, they I think they're doing multi personality, but I think they're bringing in the spirit as well. So that's why I think you're gonna have
Anish.
That.
Anish, yeah. I think Anish is definitely going to be there too. Maybe Anish will be like that split personality when he turns into Moon Knight. I mean, that's the way it was in the comics, correct? Did he turn into Anish, or did he bond with Anish?
I was never a big Moon Knight reader. So, no, yeah.
My brother was. So I asked him, and he was like, "Oh, I forgot all about him. I hate you." That's why I can never invite him on the show, because he's always forgetting things. He's an old man now, so forget him. Yeah, it looked good. The suit looks really cool, which I like. It's not just pure white. It's got like the white with the shades of gray in it. So it's very comic accurate. It looks good. I can't wait. And I think Oscar Isaac has been dying to do some other comic book characters that don't.
And there's purple. To me, Oscar Isaac's always hit it out of the park. There hasn't been anything bad I have seen him in. Sorry, it's he's one of those ones I always forget. But when he's in a movie, I know it's going to be solid, and I never doubt what he's going to do.
I loved him in Ex Machina. That's where I first saw him as an actor. Like, God, who is this dude? He's fantastic. And then he got cast in Star Wars, and he was Poe, fantastic as Poe. And now he's going to get his own little series. He's in the MCU now. So
yeah.
I like that. You know, after his run as Apocalypse, which I've always said is not his fault. I've always said that's more Fox's fault, because the way they structured Apocalypse, and, you know, character wise and visually, I think they kind of dropped the ball now. But then again, hey.
That's another one you and I are at odds with. I think what they did for him was perfect. They couldn't do that animated thing that we wanted. That's what you're going to get with a real life, you know, Apocalypse. You don't want anything like obnoxious. Next we saw a trailer for She-Hulk, which we knew that was definitely coming out. And it was great to see that. I like the feel of it. You know, it doesn't fit any of the other streaming services or the streaming shows vibes at all. It's definitely got this quirkiness to it. Unfortunately, we still are stuck with Mr. Fix-It.
I think that's only going to be from the beginning. I think eventually he's going to de-evolve for that Mr. Fix-It, because in that first, you know, spoilers if you haven't seen Shang-Chi, but Bruce Banner does show up and he's not Mr. Fix-It anymore. He's just Bruce Banner. He just has like the arm brace on him. So I'm thinking this series is going to take place before Shang-Chi. And then eventually the series goes on. I think he's going to end that whole Mr. Fix-It garbage nonsense that we both freaking hate, which took away from what could have been one of the greatest rematches of all time. And you just dilute him to like a secondary mopey character in Endgame. But that's, again, different story. But
there is talk out there right now starting to run around of a World War Hulk. That they're talking about starting to get in production with Ruffalo.
What about the distribution rights? Doesn't Universal still own the distribution rights to Hulk? I know that was the whole thing holding it up for the longest time.
I don't think so. I think that's already passed now, because like I said, okay. I mean they've had stories with Hulk in it now, so I don't think that distribution has any pull right now. But yeah, there's rumors right now though of a World War Hulk, so we're gonna have to see that transition from that Mr. Fix-It back into
the raging green monster, which we both love, and we both hate Mr. Fix. It's
not about the rage monster. I like the blend. I think there needs to be I think the perfect one was the Hulk in Ragnarok.
It was
the perfect mixture. I don't want the brain. I don't want always the grit and the beast. I like that middle ground we got in Thor Ragnarok. I thought that was the perfect mixture.
Maybe we'll get Grey Hulk. Who knows?
Well, they got to do something. I mean, because they sort of already told the World War Hulk thing. Yeah, you know, so I'm kind of curious when I saw that announcement. This came from a pretty legit source. I'm like, oh, what are they doing here?
I mean, they could change it around. I mean, of course, but like you said, like in Ragnarok, that was basically World War Hulk too. That's basically like it has like the meat on the bones of that comic.
Yeah,
you did that, so. Like going back to the well, like what, he's going to go back in space and go back to
the collector comes back, and not the collector. What was he called? What was Jeff Goldblum's character's name?
Oh, Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster. Maybe the Grandmaster gets back in power and comes after him and drags him back and throws him back into those environments. And then that's where the World War Hulk picks up. I mean, I can see maybe them kind of going that route.
You can make like the character of Jeff Goldblum, like in the world according to Jeff Goldblum. He like actually, you know, he makes the Hulk appear on his TV show, and that's how he gets. He's like the Grandmaster pretending to be Jeff Goldblum. I mean, both shows are on Disney Plus. I mean, you could do something weird like that. But then again, I have strange.
Well, they're talking World War Hulk as a movie, not as a show. That's
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Moving? I don't know about that. I could see like a series, but I don't know.
I can see, it's kind of interesting. They're like, I think they were just right now in the rumor in the stages of starting. So we'll see where they go. Second trailer we got of a show coming out soon, Miss Marvel. Looking great. I can't say I'm not a fan, but I'm not familiar enough with her. But everything I've read of her, Kamala Khan, I think is I really enjoy.
Last year, I think I talked to you when I bought that Avengers game. I think we talked about it in the Blue Room, and I was like, I was disappointed with that game. The one thing I was not disappointed in that game with is the journey of Kamala Khan. Like, her story is basically it's the whole meat and potatoes of that game. And she just goes right through, and it's very seamless as she goes through. And after a while, when I'm playing that game, because at first I'm like, I don't want to be Kamala Khan. But then I'm playing, and I'm like, ooh, you know, she's got a nice power set. Her story's really good. I wasn't looking forward to it neither, but, you know, if they're going to do something like that for that series, I'm interested.
And I think it's a good stepping stone and a good mixture of trying to bring in Captain Marvel, bringing in Monica Rambeau. I think that's where we're going to see some of the growth, not just for Kamala, but I think for also the Marvel family of sorts, you know, the Captain Marvel and for Monica. Because in one of the scenes in the trailer, you saw that Kamala was wearing Captain Marvel's suit, like a costume.
Yeah, the Kree outfit that she created for herself with the helmet and everything.
Yeah,
and
but it's got the colors that she had, you know, at the end of her. So I thought that was a kind of a cool twist. So that's when I'm wondering if they're going to kind of have that handoff, because there's another shows that, like, there's a show getting ready to come out here shortly. We're going to have Hawkeye. Well, Hawkeye has already got a spinoff coming off of that they announced. We didn't see anything about it, but they announced it. But for Echo, you know, and that's a direct tie-in, you know, off of Hawkeye. And like I said, they haven't even dropped Hawkeye, and they're already planning a spinoff. So I think a lot of these shows are going to be that hey, we're starting something, we're going to have a spinoff right off of that. And I think that's probably what we're going to see, you know, for Monica.
I like what they're doing with the OG Avenger characters too now, which I think we see it being set up in these Disney Plus series, as you have those legacy characters like Hulk and Hawkeye. They're being in this series almost like to hand off the baton, which I kind of like it. I like the way they're doing it. You have Hawkeye in there. You have Kate Bishop in there. She-Hulk with Bruce. It's almost like almost a subliminally passing of the baton.
Yeah.
And they do it organic. Yeah. And I like it. I like it that way. It's like, oh, forget this. No, they're dead. Like, they died off screen. No, they're still there. It's just like, maybe they're going to take a back seat for a while for these new characters. Yeah. And I think going forward with Disney Plus and the MCU, you're seeing that a lot more. And I think that's, as they go forward, they're going to do that to bring the new characters out. Like, they're not going to say they're dead. It's like, hey, you know what? Taking a back seat, you know, this is, you know, but if you need me, give me a call. So, yeah. But I like how they're doing that.
And with the announcement of Echo, that goes back to something you and I talked about, Hawkeye, about who we think might be part of it. Cause you got the jumpsuit mafia, and we always talked about that, you know, they were tied in to Kingpin. Well, Echo's Kingpin's daughter. So this ties in even further to that hint. And I mean, if they don't go with Kingpin, that's just such a...
It's a waste.
It's a complete waste to, like, ignore that. And it's going to be interesting because, yes, Marvel already introduced a deaf character in the Eternals. In Makari. Echo, yeah. And Echo's deaf as well. So kind of, I'm not sure what route, if they're going to continue that, which I hope they do. That would be smart of them. Don't change that character that way, but bring in Kingpin as her father. And I mean, what better way than to just open up and bring in the rest of the Defenders, basically. I mean, bring in the Netflix series.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about Vincent D'Onofrio, but you got to bring it back, man. You talk about a standout in those Netflix series. I mean, we both love them. You know, I didn't like Iron Fist too much, but I love the Vincent D'Onofrio Kingpin character. From the minute he first stepped on scene, I was like, how are they going to do him? Because the last time you saw him was Michael Clark Duncan. And again, not a bad job.
But again, bad job. Unfortunately,
I thought he was very good. Yeah, unfortunately. But like, this Kingpin was more the Kingpin that I read. He's like more the ruthless gangster. And that one scene, we both like were just like, I think I was texting. I was like, oh my God, his head fell off the car. Like, just hitting him, the blood and the violence of this character. But he's almost childlike too. they made him a character, and it's what I like. He's not very like, hello, Spider-Man. If you remember that animated series, like, let's stop Spider-Man, Smythe. That was Kingpin, just the, like the big fat guy. But in that Netflix series, they developed the
character. Those shows were for kids. So,
I know. It's the only comparison I had.
We were kids then. They're now keeping it in tone for us now that we're adults. But yeah, I know what you mean.
That's the only live action version I had of. Well, there wasn't that awful Incredible Hulk movie with big gigantic glasses, but whatever. Won't talk about that. But yeah, hopefully he'll come back.
Yeah. So, and like I said, I just think with the announcement of Echo, and that's going to be a spinning off of a Hawkeye. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense. Hopefully it'll do it.
Next, Disney announced that there's going to be three new Marvel series coming out. One, Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is an animated series that follows Peter Parker on his way to becoming Spider-Man in the MCU. So it looks like they're going to be taking that Spider-Man, the Holland Spider-Man, and continuing and telling more of the backstory that we didn't get, you know, something that we didn't talk, you know, we have talked about Spider-Man. That Spider-Man never got an origin story. So maybe what we're going to see is sort of his origin story in a way, which I think will be this will be fun. And I'm interested to see kind of what, I didn't see the animated style, but I'm kind of interested to see what style they choose. So, you know, are they going to go more of the, you know, the CGI kind of like the one, I know there's some of the style that you don't like, but you know, are they going to go old school and stick to some of the standard old styles?
I kind of like the animation of What If. I would hope they would stick with that.
If they want to link them in together, yeah.
That's my personal preference. And like the guy who was, I'm not sure if they're going to bring Tom Holland to voice in Spider-Man. Like the guy who voiced him for What If, you know, he's pretty good voice actor. I mean, you could bring him in, you won't miss a beat. So I'm just wondering if they're going to bring in a whole new cast to voice these characters, or they're going to bring some of them from the MCU. Because they've been doing that in the What If series. They brought like the guys who actually played him on screen for the animation. They brought
Chris. Yeah, I think that for that would be like a one-time thing, because a lot of them weren't there for every episode. So I think doing that is okay. To do a whole series, I don't know if Tom would be up for that. But again, you got some great voice actors out there that can really follow up and copy what they're saying, or you know, follow their voice.
And then you have Chris, who's voicing everybody.
Yeah. Next you have, they announced something we had heard earlier. Agatha, the House of Harkness, is coming in with Catherine Hahn returning. We do know that Wanda will be on here as well. So we're definitely going to see a connection there. Most likely we're going to see the transition. I think this is treating Wanda to be like transitioning into a little bit darker character as well. I think this is where we're going to kind of see that side of it.
Do you think we see Mephisto show up finally?
Did you see, God, what was it? Cumberbatch. It was Cumberbatch, and I think he was on Fallon, and they were talking about, you know, just chatting about some of this stuff, and he makes the comment about Mephisto. He's like, you know, the way he's acting in this trailer for the Spider-Man movie, and he's like, do you think it's Mephisto? And just Cumberbatch just had this grin like, yeah, you're okay, it's Mephisto, sure.
It's just so funny that a character like, I mean, to you and I, we know who Mephisto is, but a character like that, I mean, unless you're a U2 fan, that was also one of his alter egos, Mephisto. But we know Mephisto. And he's getting name dropped so much in the MCU now. It's ridiculous. Ever since WandaVision, it's Mephisto. And I was one of them, because I thought, okay, makes sense. It's Agatha Harkness. I mean, she is in kind of like Mephisto's wife. So it makes sense. But I just wonder if they actually just show him finally in House of Agatha, which it will make sense. I mean, if they don't, they don't. But, you know,
they at least have to. I think at this point, you at least have to pay off with a reference.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta say like something like he's stuck in this jar. I mean, just something. Can we go to the Mephisto jar, the Mephisto room, or just something? And then we also have something that was in, you were talking about the What If series. We have Marvel Zombies, an animated series. So I'm kind of on the fence with that one. I kind of feel, I mean, the zombie thing is like a one punch kind of story, you know? I don't know what more they can do. I'd be interested to see, but I'm just not sure. I think what they did in What If was perfect. To me, as a fan of those stories, I don't see much more you can do.
I feel you, because I'm the same way. I'm like, it was cool that one episode. It was a one off. It was fantastic, But to have a whole series of Marvel zombies, like, I'm all, like, to me, I told you off air many times, I'm zombied out, man. Yeah. I'm just zombied out. I dropped off Walking Dead after season 4. I don't watch Fear the Walking Dead. I don't watch Walking Dead Island. I don't watch, like, Fear the Dead. I don't watch Talking Dead. I'm deaded out, man. I'm just deaded out. And Marvel Zombies, I know it's kind of a popular comic book one because I know some people read it. They said, it's really fun. I go, yeah, but how much fun is it? Like, most of the heroes are just zombies.
It's really, like I said, it's just kind of one note, just kind of a one note thing going. But
what's the point?
According to this, they say it's going to be a new generation of heroes battling against the ever-spreading zombie scourge. So maybe this is where they're going to delve in and hit those B and C level, Marvel heroes that we never get the chance to see. So maybe this is their way of giving that group, kind of like what they did for Justice League Unlimited. It kind of went away from the Holy Trinity, and it ventured into, where we're seeing, the vigilante, and we're seeing, the Knight, and we're seeing these, we're seeing Stargirl, and, had her own episode.
That's the first one, Stargirl. It was
Question had a great, story arc in
Huntress. That was they were like four around, too.
Yeah, we'll have that in the Marvel Zombies is where we're going to see, a chance and an opportunity for other characters to get a chance to shine, and maybe at that point they'll see that through Twitter and through Instagram and through just social media, oh my god, they had this person, and they're, if a buildup starts growing of that character, maybe they'll go let's make a movie about that guy then. Apparently we didn't realize that there was a big fan base out there of that character. Shit, if they would listen, when they start dropping the X-Men, a fucking Nightwing movie, because the Nightwing fan base is so huge. I didn't even realize it.
It's bigger. It's like, you have your Batman level of fans, and then there's like the Nightwing fans, which are literally right underneath.
Yeah,
it's right there. It's, I mean, you're one of them. I'm like
not really. I'm not a big Nightwing. Not a Nightwing. I'm sorry. Did I say Nightwing? I'm sorry.
You said Nightwing.
I meant Nightcrawler. Goodness, I am so sorry, guys.
I was about to get sweaty at night. I was you hate Nightwing? Wait a minute.
No. That's why when you said that, I was like, no, I'm not a Night. No, it's Nightcrawler. Sorry, but how a Nightcrawler with Marvel that like I said with X-Men coming, that what a great way of spreading the love, because there is such a huge fandom for Nightcrawler.
I've never been a big Nightcrawler guy.
Me either, but I know a ton of.
Oh, fans. I know, yes. I know tons, yeah. I know tons. Especially after Alan, I think his name is Alan Cummings. He was he did the live action version in X2, which, if you guys have never watched X2, what the hell are you doing? But the intro scene of the beginning of X2 to Nightcrawler, probably one of the best intros to a character I have ever seen in my life. That intro of him going into the White House and just like poof, 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 and beating the hell out of everybody and just disappear. I was like, oh, this is a piece de resistance right there. If you guys have never seen it, first of all, watch X2 or just watch that 10-minute clip. It's online. Intro to Nightcrawler X2. But I'm not a fan of his, but, whatever. There's a huge fan base that probably will do it.
There is. That's what I'm saying. This is, I think, a good chance for them to test the waters, like I said, for those kind of characters and see, we didn't realize we had a bigger fan base than we thought. Let's see. Next, they also talked about the new Samuel Jackson, Nick Fury, the Secret Invasion coming out, which we got to see a chance to see a patchless Nick Fury. He's doesn't have a
little beard. Little beard going on too.
Well, he's in space. I'm sure they don't have razors. Just the base.
So, Secret Invasion hanging out with the Skrulls and stuff, which is interesting. But I guess those Skrulls are good. I'm like, at first when I saw the Skrulls are actually the good guys, I'm like, it kind of threw me off. But I was like, I could take it. It's different. Maybe we won't get Secret Invasion the way we thought, but we're going to get, I guess, a form of it. So. Yeah,
well, it's Kevin. We know what he does. He picks a toy and plays with it his way. So we're going to get, not just like, we didn't get, we got a Civil War, but that wasn't Civil War. That was just a fight between two dudes, all right? That was really not a.
Yeah, it wasn't the Civil War that I read.
It'll be interesting. We'll see why he's not wearing his patch. I mean, that's one of those things that's so iconic things you just sort of have to have. Be like, Gambit without a trench coat or, John Wick without his dog. I mean, sorry, with a dog. Sorry.
Nope, unfortunately, all his dogs die. Except for the one that he has recently. It has no name. It's called Dog. Have you known that? That's the dog that he has now, and then the sequel movies. It's just called Dog. It has no name.
Why have a name? He doesn't want to get attached to anything. And then, of course, we did talk about, we already talked about Echo. We saw some art and new logos for Ironheart. Again, Ironheart's one of those ones that's just been kicking around for a long time. That's just, like, I can't think of the, I mean, we've been talking about Ironheart for...
We've been talking about it for years.
Years and years. And, yeah, so I'm kind of interested on that. We also had, let me see... Got that one. I Am Groot. It's going to be an animated series with a baby Groot, which will be interesting. I'm sure that'll be exciting.
Yeah. More toys to sell. Have fun. Not that I hate it, but, you know, it's for the kiddies. Let them enjoy it. My daughter won't watch it because she doesn't watch that.
Well, your daughter's not a kiddie either, so.
I know.
And then, of course, that was something that you're super excited about, and so was I, but I'm kind of interested where they're going to go, but they're going to restart the X-Men 97 as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of interested to see where they're going, because, I mean, really, the show ended, September 20th, 1997 was the last show. Episode was graduation day, and we see Professor Xavier, he's leaving with Leandra. And we see that... The X-Men are deciding to try to search out Magneto. So there's so it was left at a strange place. So are they doing a direct pickup?
I heard rumors it's a direct pick. It takes place afterwards, which I guess I would rather they reboot it instead of continuing the sequel. But I get how there's a lot of love for that series, especially from yours truly right here.
Because you gush on that one all the time, but yeah, it's kind of like you don't, that's the one thing. I mean, they can pick it up and start off with, you know, dealing with the Shiri out in space. I mean, so it's gonna be more in space than I think, you know. We're gonna see Space Jammers, and we're gonna see all those characters. So I'm not sure, what are we gonna, are we not focusing on Earth anymore? So I'm real interested to see. I do hear that most of the original cast is coming back, the ones that are still with us. But again, we're talking almost 30 years, and I don't know how well their voices are going to hold up, because some of these folks are a little old.
Yeah, we talked about that before, where you can tell when a voice actor his gravitas or his levels, you could tell when it's changing, especially talked about Peter Cullen, like when he was voicing Prime for the movies. You know, you hear him as Prime for those live action films, and you hear him as Prime in the animated series. Very different. His voice octaves, of course, have changed as time goes on. So you're right. Bringing them back is cool, but maybe voice them as different characters. Like, I think they were talking to the voice actress who played Jubilee. They're going to bring her back, but she's not going to voice Jubilee, which, you know, makes sense. You know, as you get older, you know, your pipes change and play some different characters. So, but I'm glad she's coming back.
You look at some of the, you look at who played Rogue. She's a member of the Canadian Parliament. So, you know, I don't think she's coming back. You're looking at the guy that did Logan, Cal Dodd. He's 64 right now. You have quite a few. Now you had different Storm and Rose. So you have your choices there. But yeah, there's I think the time. I mean, the Beast, the gentleman that played Beast, George Buzza, 72 years old.
Yeah. You just hit the nail on the head right there. Yeah, guys are. So like Rogue, yeah, member of Parliament. So, you know, be a little tough for her to.
Yeah, so I'm kind of, like I said, that's some of the news I saw, because they really just announced it and said, hey, we're doing this. And then, of course, the I've got a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy, you know, kind of background stuff. Like, you know, the original cast is coming back. I'm like, I really don't see these guys coming back. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what we do. I do know, like, you know, Gambit's still around, the voice actor for him. I think you were just talking about Allison Court. You know, she's in our age group, so, you know, she'll be fine coming back. I mean, she's still, actually, she was a big one in the Resident Evil games.
Yeah, yeah, she was. I think she voiced Claire Redfield, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I think so. I have to look that up. But she made like a living off the Resident Evil games. She was always Claire. So yeah, it's good to see her back. But like I said, I don't think they should voice the characters they did. But just do like new ones.
You know, I like that. Yeah, bring them back. At least show, you know, love and respect towards them. But yeah, just give them the.
It's kind of like that. What was that episode of Brave and the Bold with Batman, where they brought in Kevin Conroy as Batman, but he wasn't Batman from Earth. He was like Batman from outer space.
Same thing with the original animated series. They brought in Adam West as the Gray Ghost.
Yeah, oh, such a good episode.
You know, that to me is probably one of the best ones because it's honoring what came beforehand. So bring in, you know, those characters to be maybe older mutants or something along those lines.
I remember that scene now that you got me thinking of it, when Batman takes the Gray Ghost to the Batcave and he's looking around. He's like, this looks like the Gray Ghost Cave. And then he's walking and all of a sudden you see Bruce, Batman, he just opens his door up and it's like an entire mural dedicated to the Gray Ghost. He's like, Batman is basically the basis of the Gray Ghost. I took everything like that. You see like a poster, like the animated series Batman, but it's a Gray Ghost.
Yeah.
It was just a real, he has like the outfit, like all like displayed. It was like, I'm a huge fan of the Gray Ghost. He made me who I am. I was like, oh shit. And you see like Adam West, the character of the Gray Ghost, is almost like tearing up a little bit. I was like, this is fantastic.
Let's see what else. Those are most of the animated and like Marvel stuff. Like I said, not a lot of Star Wars. There was a lot of Star Wars fans I saw online that were real upset about that. Like, what the hell? But guess what, guys? We've got a lot already coming out. There's not a lot of Marvel. We've already got a lot of stuff in the books and like ready to drop. Like we said, Obi-Wan, at least we got a little, you know, sneak peek of that. We got the Book of Boba getting ready to drop, where the trailer just dropped of that. We've got Cassian dropping next year. There's a lot coming out. We've got Ahsoka's coming out. I mean, so there's a lot for us. There wasn't much in the television realm or the streaming realm for Marvel. So I kind of get that. They also announced, they did show pictures of Hocus Pocus 2, which comes out next October. So anybody that's a huge Hocus Pocus fan, also check out our archive. We do have that as well. They are doing a, bringing in Baymax again. For Big Hero, they're going to be doing a series for that, which I can't wait to see that. I think that's going to be fun if anybody got a chance to watch Big Hero.
I'll be honest with you. I've never seen it.
Watch it, dude. So much fun. So much fun. Never, yeah.
I'll have to check it out, though. I saw the trailer. I was like, okay. I remember it was in the Big Hero 6 movie. And I just never got around to watching it.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. It's a good fun movie. It definitely has especially as a gamer and kind of a geek, you know, you're enjoy that one. They also showed, which I thought they didn't show any trailers, but they showed the cast for Willow. And it was the best. I hate those like scripted, like the spontaneous meet and greet kind of things they did. They did this beautifully. I mean, just for chef kiss right there, man. They did amazing job. Warwick was perfect on that, talking to these young actors and like, just getting their names wrong, just messing it up. It was so good.
And they like, yeah, most, you had some MCU connections in there too. Like the girl who played Kylie in Falcon and Winter Soldier, she's going to be in it. And I think Flash Thompson from the Spider-Man MCU films, he's going to be in it also. So a couple of MCU connections on there, but you're right. The interactions that he had with the crowd when they were mentioning Lord of the Rings and like, it's just,
well, the girl that played Kylie, she was also in Solo, which he was in, and they made a joke about that. She's like, oh, you and I were in a movie together. Who are you? And then they started joking around like, you do know this isn't a Star Wars movie, right? And he's like, what?
What?
But it just shows you the character and the humor that Warwick Davis has. If anybody gets a chance, I haven't finished it. I got pulled onto another book, but he does have a book out there just kind of like about his life and everything getting, you know, where he was coming up. And it's so fun. You just catch a sense of humor in that. So if anybody's a Star Wars fan, check that out.
By the way, the convention we were thinking of was D23. He hosted a D23, I think it was like 2 years ago. And I seen it online and they were introing like new Star Wars stuff. But he was like the MC of it. Hysterical. Fucking hysterical, man. Like he literally had me in stitches. I'm like, this guy's he's a funny motherfucker, man. I mean, good actor, but goddamn, he had me in the floor. But cool little MC. I'm glad he's coming back. And Willow, man, we're getting Willow. Yeah. That's going to be cool. I wonder if we're going to, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think we'll see Val Kilmer because he's going through some health stuff. So that's unfortunate. But I wonder if the character Mad Mardigan does come back.
Well,
see. They make an allusion? So
maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see his son or something. Who knows? You know how it'll go.
Val's son.
They also showed some live action. There's a live action feature for the Spiderwick Chronicles. If anybody's a fan of the book series, that they're going to be dropping that as well.
I think I saw the original movie in 2006, and I haven't heard anything since then. But you know, bring it back. It's perfect for streaming. Like you would say, you as a book reader, an avid book reader yourself, you always tell me that, you know, I would prefer a series where I can actually get the story drawn out and the characters developed and that I actually can like them instead of a movie. That's because I saw that movie a while ago and I was like, yeah, it was not bad. But I just think there's one of those things that you can develop a little bit further. Just there's so much into it. Like yeah. You can never take a book and straight adaptation, you know, do a straight adaptation right away in a film because there's just so much that you got to throw in there. You really got to have to be a really good film director. Just like, I got to put this in there. I got to put this in there. Oh, I'm going to drop that. So just storytelling, you know, on that level, especially on a streaming series, is just a better way to tell stories.
And they also announced, and this, I guess, is going to fall under sort of their Fox umbrella, but a Predator prequel that called Prey is getting ready to drop. And it's basically the concept of it is it taking place here in America during the, I think what they say, it was like in the 1200s or something like that with an Indian warrior, female warrior. And I guess a female predator is also going to be there. And very similar to a fan-made film that came out 2019 called Warrior Predator. And or no, was it no Princess Warrior? I think is what it was called. And but very, very similar. I mean, like ridiculously similar. If you guys check it out on YouTube or go to our Facebook page, and you'll see the actual full. I think it's like only like 8 minutes, 9 minutes long.
Kind of long, 6 to 10 minutes.
But Disney. Now I know we don't know a lot that goes on behind the scenes. Disney could have gone to these guys and said, "Hey, listen, man, we dig your concept. Can we buy it?" We may not. That may have happened in the background. We don't know, but it's just very interesting that it's like, oh, so we're just gonna do that now. Again, there's also, I do know some of the with like some of the Star Wars fan films, they have to actually go to Disney and get permission to do their fan films.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy that's doing, oh, who was it? Star Wars. What's the one dude? A bald headed guy. Wars Theory.
Star Wars Theory, yeah.
When you do, and he talked about the movie he did, there's a little clip, short clip movie he did. He actually had to get approval from Disney to do that. So yeah, they do have to approve it. I don't know what part of the contract is. It's like, yeah, even though if you do make this, we can take your idea because we're giving you our property to play with. So there may be something that happened with this one. Don't know. Like I said, there's a lot behind the scenes, but again, it's very eerily similar. I love Predator movies. I was a big fan of Predators. Like when they get dropped off in the planet, you know. It was
Lawrence Fishburne in that film. It was actually a pretty good film.
Yeah, and Adrian Brody was in there as well, I think.
Adrian Brody, yeah.
Love that movie. I think got just panned and just bashed on. I think if they would have continued to go more out into space, done that, I think I would be okay. We've already gotten kind of a prequel, the history of the Predator. If you watched the Alien versus Predator movie with Lance Hendrickson, and where he plays the originator, you know, the creator of the company that we see in Aliens and Predator. You know, I think that was a perfect intro. So I don't see any reason to have any more origin. So, but you know, that's what they're going with, a little bit more, didn't realize there was male female predators, but I guess they're going to be introducing that to me. A predator was just a predator. I never noticed in all the comic books.
That's what I said. It was always a species. It was never.
I guess this is going to be a female predator. And then of course we're going to have a female Indian, and which is fine. I've got no problems with the, you know, the gender, you know, swap, but you can't even say that's gender swap. Cause if you look at the original Predator versus Alien versus Predator comic book, that was always a female hero. In almost every aspect of Alien versus Predator, it was always the female hero. They kind of stuck to the horror movie trope, you know, that it's going to be a strong female character. So, I mean, that's the route they're going with. I know there's a lot of anti-social justice warriors out there, like, you know, banging their fists and, you know, and so they just have to get over themselves on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm after the last Predator film, I forgot what it was called. It was called Predator, whatever. Shane Black directed it. And I thought that movie, he just messed it up really bad. I just, like, I love the one we were talking about, Predators, where they got dropped on that planet and they got hunted. Like, there was it was like a rite of passage. Like, you had to have so many kills and you get the helmet and all that. That was cool. But like the last film, which is like, I guess it was a sequel to the original, and just like Predator dogs, and there was another Predator who didn't need the glasses, and he was killing the other Predator. I'm like, why? Well, I didn't. And the ending with the weapon, like it was actually a Predator armor. I'm like, what are we doing?
Like, now I get the whole like the whole animal thing, but that really came from Alien. When you looked at the Alien versus Predator in the comic books and the graphic novels, the alien would change its DNA to be more similar to whatever its host was. That's not how predators were. So yeah, the whole alien dog thing was kind of like a little weird.
Yeah, a little strange, but I'll check it out. I mean, like, I don't think we need to do anything more with the Predator, but you know, if they're going to release it, you know, they must have a good story. Like we were talking about Warrior Princess with the female little short film that's very eerily similar to this concept. So yeah. I'll give it a chance. I'll check it out. I mean, I get what the whole social justice warriors doing. They're bitching right now, but you know, just give it a shot. You know, they must have a good idea. So just check it out and judge for yourself. Five episodes, guys, five episodes. And then you can dip out. Did they say how many episodes it's going to be, or just a series?
No, didn't. No, I think that one. No, that one's I think that's going to be a movie.
Is that a movie? Okay.
I thought
that was a series. Huh?
I'll have to let me check on actually no, I'm off that page. I was looking at your post that you had placed on about Ridley Scott and his criticism of superhero movies.
He's not wrong. They are formulaic. I mean, but we've been talking about this for years. Like, to me, it's just like, okay. Like, I know that they are formulaic. That's what they are. I mean, are you just mad because they make more money than your films? I mean, it's almost like when they do this, I get it. But when they keep doing it, it's almost like they're jealous. Like, oh man, I wish my film is so much better, superior. I go, yeah, sure, I get it. But you know, people like them. People like formulaic. You know, what are you gonna do? You know, it's his opinion. Like I said, Ridley's not wrong.
Yeah,
he's not.
And honestly, I always want to look at these interviews because I always question: Do these reporters set these guys up and strictly go, "Wait, what do you think about the big popularity about these movies?" And it's like the way they report these is that these directors are like literally going out and saying these suck. It's true, not like that. It's not like, hey, you know, he's rebuttaling a questioner. He's answering a question that was, hey, what do you think about these? Now, the quote is sort of taken out of context. I do like what he says. He says, he's always the best films are driven by characters and will come to superhero movies after this if you want, because I'll crush it. I'll fucking crush it. They're fucking boring as shit. Their scripts and their aren't any fucking good. I think I've done three great scripted superhero movies. So he's done them. He's done them. So he knows. You know, one you would count as Aliens. I mean, if you look at that, there's one. A Gladiator, you know, is the other. And said that he would, and one would be, you know, another one he had was with Harrison Ford. He says they're superhero movies. So why don't the superhero movies have better stories? That's the one thing. It's all he's saying. And it's not that he's like crapping on them too heavily. So, but yeah, it's an interesting how these come up. This one I'm okay with because he's like, nah, he's like, they're boring. I'll crush it. So, and guess what? He can.
And he can give you stinkers too, but he has the ability to make a good one. That I don't doubt in my mind. I mean, I would love if they, like, a DC gave him a film. Like, can you imagine like him doing like an Etrigan the Demon movie? That'd be freaking awesome. Ridley Scott versus Etrigan. He can make it dope.
Yeah.
I don't doubt the man's ability. And, you know, like I said, his words are right. It's his opinion. He's not wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say he's wrong. He's not.
Yeah. But he was out promoting his last movie he did was The Last Duel, but he's also out promoting which I can't wait. I want to see this so bad, the biographical crime of House of Gucci, which I've talked to you about. Yeah, so that's coming out here.
Yeah, it should be out soon. Jared Leto, freaking ridiculous. Who's he playing? Peter Gucci? Like one of the
head Gucci's? I don't know who he was. I haven't like delved in enough. I just saw the character and I'm like, oh, what the hell? Because I mean, you got Adam Driver, you got Lady Gaga, who I'm sorry, you know, Lady Gaga is just like, she's hitting it, you know, on all cylinders whenever she's acting right now.
Great actress, man. Very underrated. Like I saw her in a couple episodes of American Horror Story. She was good. And then she did, you know, the remake to A Star Is Born. She was fantastic. The quote on a fantastic in that film. And she's getting, you know, she's building up that catalog. So good for her.
And I guess the last thing that really came out this week, we're starting to get reviews coming out of Ghostbusters Afterlife. I mean, we're getting a lot of great, great feedback about that movie. So I cannot wait to see it.
Comes out this week, I believe.
Yeah, because I think this past weekend was kind of a breather weekend. There was no movies I had to go see this weekend. I had a chance to breathe.
I think with the beginning of this week, there's like going to be consistent like things just coming out, especially in December.
I think it's two weeks in a row, then a break, 2 weeks in a row. We sat down with a friend, my friend that take the movie, go to the movies with. Yeah, we sat down to plan the rest of our year, figure out where my paycheck's going. And then of course, guys, we usually do this at the beginning, but I thought we'd take our time here at the end. But we did lose an amazing actor this week as well. Dean Stockwell, best known Quantum Leap died at 85. So, I mean, but known for a lot more, but Quantum Leap for our little niche group, you know, he was best known for that.
It was great. And it was Admiral Calavici. He was the admiral, and he was always trying to help Beckett out. He's like, "Hey, well, hit Ziggy's up at a little palm pilot." He kept going around with hitting it. It was a great actor. He was also in the original Dune. He's one of the doctors. A couple episodes of Battlestar Galactica. So yeah, he lived a long life.
Also, Blue Velvet. If nobody has ever seen
Blue Velvet, yeah. He was the crooner singer in Blue Velvet. I remember that. So yeah, we lost a good one in 85 years. I remember Scott Bakula on his Instagram page. He wrote this whole little outline story about him, like saying how much of a great actor he got influenced. They were friends like to the end of his life. And yeah.
And it sucks. They're getting ready to start doing a Quantum Leap, you know, a restart of that. And I believe Bakula was going to be kind of involved in it. So I was really hoping, you know, to see Dean as well, but I guess he's unfortunately not going to be able to do it unless they filmed some stuff beforehand.
Yeah. I doubt they did that. I mean, maybe they'll get somebody else and, I don't know, call him Calavici. They'll mention
the technology's there. There's enough to make him a hologram at this point, you know.
Good. You could. I mean, I think with Scott coming back, I wonder if he'll take the role that Dean was playing, and they'll have somebody else go into the machine and travel through time. And they're going to update.
Did he really make it back?
that's another, we don't know. Like, he walked out that door, and supposedly he was leaping back home, but we don't know. I mean, according to that bartender, which was never identified if it was God or not, but he's like, you can go home anytime you want. And that's how it ends the series. Like, he just leaps out of there. But I love Quantum Leap. Love, love, love.
It was a really, really great series. If nobody's gotten a chance to watch it, yeah, definitely do yourself a bit.
They did a lot of historical stuff on there. Like, they hit some issues, real issues, especially when he was dressed as a woman, which I always thought was kind of cool. Like, it was during, like, the female empowerment era. What else? They had one where he leaped into Lee Harvey Oswald. That was an awesome episode. And he was not going to kill the president, but then, like, I guess the urges of, like, the character he leaped into was taking over, and he actually killed him. So,
yeah.
A lot of good stuff in Quantum.
Definitely. Yeah, again, guys, you hear a lot of folks nowadays, you know, bitching about, you know, this wokeness in sci-fi. Guys, that wokeness has been there since the beginning. Sci-fi has always addressed that in books, movies, and television about how can we as a people get better. So stop saying, oh, it's not, it's because of now. No, it's not. I actually got into a huge fight on some dude on some board this week about Star Trek. He's like, you can't tell me that it wasn't woke until Discovery. And I'm like, so you're saying, you're saying them addressing racism and women's rights during the original series, you know, your first interracial kiss wasn't, what did you watch?
It's a little mind-boggling. Like, sometimes, like, people just don't think. It's like they almost want to ignore what happened before. That's what always bothers me. It's like this stuff has been here for a lot. Like, almost like female empowerment characters. Oh, we have so many now, dude. Back then, you had them as well. They were there. They were there. Come in, Sigourney Weaver. Hello, Linda Hamilton. Hi. How you guys doing?
I know the one thing that everybody like goes, well, Sigourney was supposed to be a guy. Okay, well, she wasn't, and she, you know, she was a female, so get over that. She was written as a guy, so, but it was Sigourney, so.
But it was a chick, so. Yeah. Well, but who cares how it was written? Like, it was played by Sigourney Weaver, man. Yeah. Relax.
Oh, all right, man. So you got anything else?
No, you pretty much all I wanted to hit was Disney.
That's what I figured. That's why I just ran through the list and just figured I'd hit them all for you. All right, guys. Well, make sure you do check us out this Wednesday. We will be dropping a pick of Destiny for you. And then we'll have two more coming out reviews this month. A review and a watch along for this month. But then next month, guys, buckle up because we're plugging into the Matrix next week or next month for Matrix month in December for the we're prepping for the debut of what do we say? Was it Resurrection? Resurrection.
Radiant. Matrix Radiant's coming out.
Yeah, so make sure you guys do check us out for that. And next year, guys, Kane and I spent a little bit of a late night bowl session and figured out what we're going to be doing next year for Midnight Movies. So make sure you guys do check those out.
A little preview. I won't mention any of the movies we're doing, but I will say that I like this list. It hits everything, and I think you guys will be thoroughly enjoyed. Just look for it in 2022.
All right, guys. And make sure you guys, like I said, do check us out on our pages, and make sure you subscribe and listen. Okay.
Twitter at the Heroes Asylum _podcast, Instagram at the Heroes Asylum. Sorry, I've been a little silent on social media webs. That'll be ramping up pretty soon. Lobos and Chairshots, like you said, is still on hiatus, and I will let you know as soon as we're going to restart again. And from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. We'll see you soon, kids.